Well, the Neurological Alliance of Ireland is actually celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. We're 20 years old. We were incorporated as an organisation back in 2003. We were established, it was before my time, but we were established by a small group. I think it was only six organisations at the beginning, together with a consultant neurologist, Professor Orla Hardiman, who's currently the clinical lead of neurology in Ireland. They came together with a view that the neurological organisations would be stronger together. They came together under the motto Unity is Strength, basically to campaign for better services and supports for people with neurological conditions.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the work that you do?
So the Neurological Alliance of Ireland, it's the national umbrella for neurological charities. We've over 30 charities that are member organisations of the NAI. Our work mostly focuses on advocacy. And that's advocating for investment in services and supports for people with neurological conditions and their families. But I suppose as part of that, we also focus on policy development. So the frameworks that will develop the services that people need. And we would contribute to policy development and policy to inform that, as I say, that structure of services for people with neurological conditions. And also raising awareness is a very important part of what we do. Because we represent 30 neurological charities, it can be challenging to find commonality and common themes, but it is really important that we raise the level of neurodisability and the level of awareness of neurological conditions. And I think it's important to say that there are over 800,000 Irish people living with a neurological condition, which is a staggering figure. But if you pause for a moment and think about it, everyone knows someone who's affected by a stroke, acquired brain injury, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and some of the very common neurological conditions like epilepsy or migraine. Everyone knows someone affected by one of these conditions. So as I say, very important advocacy, policy development, and also raising awareness of neurological conditions, and also raising awareness of the work that our member organisations do to provide essential supports for people with neurological conditions and their families.
Is part of the work that you do, do you look at or engage in research? I mean, are, as you said, 800,000 people in Ireland living with a neurological condition. For the population, it seems a big number. I mean, is the trend upwards? Is it levelling off? Have you researched that? Have you been able to research that?
Well, there's, I suppose, neurological, the area of neurology and the area of neurological conditions has long been recognised as, I suppose, an underdeveloped or under-recognised area. And the World Health Organization recognised this in 2022. They brought out a 10-year framework, a global action plan for neurological disorders and epilepsy. And they recognised exactly that. In proportion to the number of people affected by neurological conditions worldwide, there was actually a low level of awareness and provision across not just developing countries, but also developed countries worldwide in services and supports and specialist interventions for people with neurological conditions. Again, we hope with the World Health Organization framework that will change. But there is a growing body of awareness, there's a growing body of research, I suppose, based on the fact that it is the fastest growing cause of disability worldwide. And the second leading cause of death among adults is neurological conditions.
That's a lot to take in. I mean, it's a huge remit to have as an organisation. You mentioned obviously a big part of your work is advocacy, policy, engaging. Can you talk to me about some of the campaigns that you have?
Well, our current campaign platform, if you like, is entitled Patients Deserve Better. And we commenced that in late 2021 with a campaign specifically around clinical nurse specialists in neurology services. And I should talk probably about where that campaign platform originally came from. And I suppose you mentioned about research and had we done any research, commissioned research as an organisation. So back in 2020, towards the end of the pandemic, when things had somewhat returned a little bit to normal and redeployed staff had settled back into their original roles, we did a national audit of neurology services in Ireland, neurology centres. We went across 10 neurology centres in 10 hospitals around the country, And we did a detailed, in cooperation with and collaboration with the National Clinical Programme in Neurology, we did a detailed survey at each of those centres on the number of staffing, the number of beds dedicated to the service, challenges in the service, all those kinds of things. And one of the things really emerging from that piece of research was the dearth of nurse specialists in neurology. A recognised role, access to a nurse specialist would be taken for granted for so many other areas of chronic disease. So, for example, cancer. But we had a shortage of over 100 nurse specialists in neurology across Irish neurology services. So this was the impetus for the Patients Deserve Better campaign. And that campaign ran between late 2021 right up to the budget last year in 2022. We had a series of nationwide launches, with a series of events with elected representatives. But the most important part of that campaign was the grassroots mobilization. People with neurological conditions themselves speaking out at our launches, speaking out about the importance of nurse specialists to them. And last week when we launched on the 27th of June, when we launched our pre-budget submission, it was great because we had the Irish Neurology Nursing Forum, and which was set up, I suppose, because of that campaign, or as one of the outcomes from that campaign. The nurse specialists came together themselves and set up a specific representative group of their own. But we had the Irish Neurology Nursing Forum and those patient advocates standing side by side, explaining to elected representatives that this is what their support led to. And that was, I suppose, that was one of the proudest moments of the campaign, was just to see the nurses that some of whom, you know, had been appointed as an outcome of that campaign, or their colleagues appointed as an outcome of that campaign, as I say, standing together with the patient representatives who had spoken out about the importance of nurse specialists to their care. And the success of the campaign was we got funded for 23 specialist nurses in last year's budget. The minister announced funding for 23 specialist nurses as a direct consequence of that campaign. So it was very successful in terms of the immediate result of getting the posts into the services, but all those side consequences of a campaign of bringing together, as I say, the lived experience representatives with neurological conditions and giving them a voice, and giving them the empowerment to feel that they could do something to campaign for the services that they needed.
I think it's important to pause just for a moment to reflect on an advocacy win, because they don't come as often as we need them to come in disability. So I think a little acknowledgement pause is no harm. So well done to everyone involved in that. And of course, having the lived experience side by side, I think, is essential in a lot of the work that we do as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of the people who were involved in this campaign wouldn't have had an advocacy role before, or would have felt, where do I start? And that was something that came back to us over and over again with the lived experience representatives. There are so many needs, and where can we focus? Because we need everything. And I suppose the campaign was important for that, and it gave them a very targeted ask of something that was very tangible for them. And I suppose we didn't pick nurse specialists just out of a hat. It was something that was coming back to us from our member organisations. It was coming back to us from the lived experience representatives living with neurological conditions. The people often felt, and no disrespect to their consultant, but they often felt that they get meeting maybe once, twice a year with the consultant, but it was the nurse specialist that really provides them, like across all conditions, that really provides them with the information and the advice. And the support on an ongoing basis. So just, you know, recently we had the one of the representatives from the Irish Neurology Nursing Forum speak to our member organisations who themselves have nurses working in their staff about how we can all work together really to support nurses that are working in our umbrella of patient organisations as well, because we're all working towards the same end.
And it's great when you have, I suppose, sight of things from an umbrella perspective as well. You get to kind of hear about issues and challenges. What are some of the issues and challenges that are coming up to you from your member organisations?
Well, principally, I suppose it's important to say that our organisations are used to challenge. Yeah. They are resilient. They're probably too resilient. You know, they face challenges over and over again. You know, during the COVID-19 pandemic, they saw a collapse in their an absolute collapse in their public fundraising. But at the same time, they were never more needed, and there was such a reliance on them. And even the research reports that we would have done and the surveys that we would have done during COVID showed that the patient organizations were the most trusted and the first source of information for people, because they were hearing a lot of information about COVID, but it wasn't information from people with their condition. So they were going on to our member organizations' websites, and they were learning, what does COVID actually mean for me with multiple sclerosis or for me with Parkinson's disease? So that was during COVID, and they supported people during that. And since then, it is the cost of living crisis, the recruitment crisis, the disparity in pay that is really, really making organizations struggle. And we see that in our member organizations, that they just can't compete on a level playing field in terms of pay. They are losing staff. Staff want to work in patient organizations. They're committed. They love the atmosphere in patient organizations, but they simply cannot compete in terms of pay and the disparity between the statutory and the voluntary sector. So that's certainly something that's coming through. And it's something that organizations, they can't work harder through it. It's really an insurmountable obstacle for them until the government steps in and resources them properly for the work that they do. Because as in so many sectors of disability, neurological disability in particular is so reliant on not-for-profit organizations to provide essential services and supports.
And this is an issue that can be solved. It's a crisis that has a solution. A lot of, as you said, your organisations are used to challenges. You're used to not having immediate answers. But the solution to the pay parity and the poor resourcing by the government is something that they can solve.
Completely. And it's something that should never happen.
Yeah.
These organisations deserve parity for the services and the supports that they provide. They are, I suppose, they're commissioned by the HSE to be providing this care, and it should be paid at an equal level, that if it had to be commissioned from another provider, they would have to pay the staff at this rate. So it's a situation that should never have arisen. And it's certainly something that the government does need to step in sooner rather than later. Because what we don't want to see, all of these organisations, and we're particularly conscious of that because we are an umbrella of small niche organisations providing services to people with specific neurological conditions. If those organisations aren't there, those unique specialist services and supports aren't going to be provided. They're not going to be provided by anyone else. These organisations were formed often by a person living with the condition, a group of family members. They have the voice of the person with the condition at their heart and in everything that they do. And if these organisations disappear, it is an insurmountable loss for neurodisability and for people with neurological conditions.
Max, if people want to find out more about the organisation, where can they go?
We have a dedicated website, www.nai.ie. And if people want to find out about our current Patients Deserve Better campaign, it's patientsdeservebetter.ie.